Ladies and gentlemen, good morning to everyone. Welcome to Fornebu this morning, where we intend to present our second quarter results into more depth. My name is Dag Mellor. I'm the Chief Press Spokesman of Telenor. Today, as well as the gentlemen, our CEO, Jon Fredrik Baksaas, and the Senior Executive Vice President and CFO, Torstein Moland, will take the key roles here. As with the first quarter results, the presentations here today will be given entirely in English. You have three different options today. One is attending here in person as you are. The second one is to follow the internet broadcast, which is live. The third option is to listening in on the phone. The third option also gives you an opportunity to pose questions to the two gentlemen after the Q&A session here in the auditorium. All necessary materials should be available to you either on the website or in press kits distributed here. Let me just point out one small misprint in the English press release given out here in the printed version. In line four in the English version, the word revenue should be replaced by operating profit. That's only for the printed version distributed here in the auditorium. So, time to start, and I give the floor to our CEO, Mr. Jon Fredrik Baksaas.
Yeah, good morning, and thank you for showing up attending our second quarter presentation for 2024. We are very pleased that the revenue growth for Telenor in this quarter has reached the level of 18%. This is, for us, a record high level, and it gives the turnover the level of 15.6 billion all in all. And it's the mobile area that gives us this growth primarily, with as much as 42% revenue growth in the quarter alone. But there is another also very pleasing characteristic with these results, and that is the position in the Norwegian market, where the penetration growth for mobile now has reached, as we estimate, the level of 94%, which must be one of the highest in Europe. And this happens at the same time as we are building ARPU, which with some small accounts as well. So we consider these results being very strong for us. Also, for the fixed line, there has been a broadband explosion throughout this quarter, building up with as much as 27,000 new customers in Q2 alone. With these two features in place, and with the third business area also doing very well, broadcast with growing revenues and also building margin, the overall result for the group proves very well for Telenor in this quarter. So a lot of the parameters turns in the right direction for us as we see it this time. Let's turn to mobile. There is an all-time high revenue increase for 42% since second quarter 2023. And measured towards Q1 2024, it's a 14% revenue growth. So it is really a strong quarter. And remember, the contribution here not only comes from the emerging market, it is also the mature markets of Norway that builds these figures, as I will show you a little bit later. The CapEx figure seems here very high, but it does incorporate the license fee in Pakistan with approximately 2 billion Norwegian crowns. Of which half is paid already, and the other half to be paid during the license period of 10 years. As we've pointed out before, the customer base builds strongly. On consolidated basis, the number of customers has increased by 1.1 million customers in one quarter alone, and 4.7 million customers on a 100% basis. After Pakistan being part of our activities, we now reach out in a geography with more than 600 people altogether. So this is, as we consider it, a growth environment for many years to go from this point as well. Returning then to Telenor in mobile activities in Norway. We are very happy that Telenor Mobil has built the figures as we have during this quarter. There's a 6% revenue increase on the top line here. And if we isolate traffic revenues alone, there is an 8% increase, which is very strong. With 73,000 new subscribers coming into the systems, we are surprised that penetration has been building to the level of 94% through this quarter. So, and we also believe that this has built the market share solidly for us through this quarter, even though we estimate it still to be at the 56% level. We have been able to improve the ratio between prepaid and postpaid customers, and this is probably also the reason why we have been able to build ARPU through this quarter. And the competitive marketplace in Norway is still very active, as you can see it all around us in these days. So we feel that we have done very well based on the initiatives that we launched back in 2003, and that these results now pays off. And despite these price reductions that we have had through the first quarter and second quarter of 2004, the margin is still at 37% level for Telenor Mobil in Norway, also incorporating the cost, of course, involved in acquiring as much as 73,000 new customers in one quarter alone. 3G services are underway. In September, we plan to launched early the edge-based 3G services in major cities in Norway, and UMTS will come somewhat later. This is really very well done from the management point of view, and I think that Morten Carlsen Serby and the others working in the customer front on marketing activities in Norway has done brilliantly through this quarter. Denmark is another marketplace which with other characteristics. This is probably one of the roughest markets in Europe. We have been able to improve the customer base even without counting in the added customers that comes from the acquisitions of the service provider CDB. But it is a rough marketplace. We have been focusing our market activities in Denmark as in Norway, trying to attract the postpaid segment primarily in order to build ARPU and consequently also build the revenue base rather than the exact number of customers as such. But the price pressure has been considerable through this first half year in Denmark. And there is a significant price tag on this in the margin, as we see right below the 20% level. Revenues are up, but the market, the margin is weak, we have to consider. And, of course, there will be a number of actions to address this. On the synergy side, we are now underway of doing the necessary thing to take the OPEX side down by 200 million Norwegian crowns beginning next year. And these efforts will not only relate strictly to the Sonofon operation, but also to the combined Nordic operation, where we look for establishing one Nordic mobile operation with national market outlets. The more long-term synergies that we are looking for is those of focusing on the simplified operation and, of course, also on product development and product management. And with these efforts in the pipe, we are looking towards synergies in excess of the 1 billion crowns that we estimated when we acquired Sonofon more than half a year ago. The consolidation effect in Denmark is probably something that will have an effect in the marketplace going forward. As you can see, the number of players will now be reduced after the consolidation, both from done by TDC, acquiring a service provider, Telenor doing the same, and the most recent happening where Telia acquired Orange Denmark. And this will probably give the marketplace more transparency going forward from this point. In Hungary, this market is becoming more mature. It's a highly competitive one. Vestel has rebranded into T-Mobile and fighting Vodafone in this marketplace. So here Telenor is in fact meeting the two global players, T-Mobile and Vodafone, right up front. We feel that we have a good position in the marketplace. We have been able to increase the postpaid ratio also in this marketplace. Even though the number of customers has been fairly flat, also putting a slight pressure on the market share for the panel operation. But with the focus on the prepaid segment, the postpaid segment, we are looking for revenue increase, and we are also able to keep a fairly nice margin at the 39% level. With also the new management in place now, we feel that Pan and GSM is now sort of gaining a new momentum in how we're going to go forward with this operation. Uwe Fredheim, as you know, came from Ukraine, has been there for more than 4 years, and is now in place in Budapest. Moving then to Ukraine, there is a fantastic revenue growth. This market is really booming up. We have been able to both raise the number of customers and revenue very nicely through this quarter. The other side of this is that that is also done by the competition. MTS has been very active, and we have to realize that we were not speedy enough in order to respond to the new growth element that came in the marketplace this year. But in June this year, we're happy to say that we are back on track when it comes to speed, and also then take our fair share of the present market growth in this marketplace. Surprisingly enough, on this growth, the ARPU level is being maintained quite nicely. But with this kind of growth element, it's to be anticipated that there will be a pressure on the ARPU in the periods coming ahead of us. There is an extensive network rollout, which is also sort of a necessity when there is a growth element like this, both for coverage as well as for capacity, naturally. But with the margin level of 59%, there is a lot to be done in such a fantastically growing marketplace in the quarters ahead of us. In Digi in Malaysia, we're doing basically the same as before. We have been fairly successful on customer acquisition, building the position by some small decimals quarter by quarter. The ARPU is being maintained, and this secures the number three position very well for us, as we can see. 3G services based on Edge is already available, And we have, as you have noted, just recently switched CEO in the company, where Morten Lundahl, who has had the responsibility of strategic development at Telenor, now moves into line management and the head of the company, whereas Tore Johnsen will move to Pakistan and to head up the new operation there. Financially, the duty figures are very strong as we consider them, 31% revenue growth in the quarter and a 43% margin speaks for itself. We have to consider higher capex in the second half in the first compared to the first half, as we've seen also for previous years. The last really great environment that I will, among the consolidated companies of Telenor, is that of Bangladesh, with a revenue growth of 52%, and market penetration has now reached a little bit over 2%, so there is still some to go. And the market share of the operation is considered to be 62%. In the fourth quarter last year here, one of the competitors in this marketplace really started to show signs of high activity. And we were a little bit late responding to that, but through both Q1 and Q2, we feel we're up to speed again. And we have also now the necessary capacity in place in the network so that we can facilitate this growth. But it does put some pressure on the ARPU, as we can see, also for this quarter. But financially, there are very many similarities here between the Grameenphone operation and the Kyivstar operation, with a margin level right below 60%. We can also see that the capex figure has grown somewhat, and this is a result of this market growth. And we have taken a solid point of view here that we are to entertain market growth when it is present in these markets. I will then give a couple of comments to those two companies that we do not consolidate, both VimpelCom and DSAC. Both companies are participating in markets where there are considerable growth. VimpelCom has now reached 16 million customers, still growing, and it's the number of customers in the regions in particular that constitutes this growth. And DTAC has reached more than 7 million customers. And the underlying and combined value of the Telenor position in VimpelCom, if you combine VimpelCom being stock-listed and VimpelCom R being owned partly by VimpelCom and partly directly by Alpha and Telenor, the derived value will be close to 14 billion Norwegian crowns. In Pakistan, I will just mention that our organization is in place. We have done very good, as we can see it, preparatory work for the launch to come within a year upon license award. We have not reached into any problems of sort of any significance. On the contrary, we feel that we are following the plan, and we have also reached very good agreements with vendors, as we've seen that we, through this engagement, were able to discuss with the vendors with a new significant and promising operation with quite some good cards at our hand. Moving then to fixed. Revenues are down here 5.5%, but this is affected primarily by the deconsolidation of Comincom Belgia, moving out of the consolidated picture, and the sale of the IT services unit to EDB. So there are sort of accountancy reasons for this reduction in revenue. EBITDA margin is in line with Q2, Q3, and there is an EBIT improvement here on reported figures for 100 million Norwegian crowns because there is an effect of the EDB transaction, which I will try to describe in particular to the analysts, which is worthwhile knowing about. The situation is so that when we had the IT operation in-house in Telenor, we, of course, owned the equipment related to this business ourselves. So we had an OpEx side to it included in the EBITDA margin, and we had the depreciation not being included in the EBITDA margin. When we do get these services from EDB, then the full expense load, both from OpEx and depreciation, will be part of the OpEx figures going forward. So there is an effect here, which is negative, in fact, on the EBITDA margin, but which is positive on the EBIT margin as a whole. Adjusting for these elements, the EBITDA margin in fixed underlying is fairly stable, 36.2 versus 36.1 through quarter two for through the second quarter 2023 and the second quarter this year. And with the underlying effect in the marketplace, we are very positive for the fixed development through this quarter. We have seen a pressure, in particular in first quarter, when it comes to the wholesale line rental concept, which was introduced last year, where the number of lines being linked together with those customers, which were with carrier pre-select for other providers in Norway. This reduction is much less in second quarter than in the first quarter. So we have probably been able to meet this pressure quite efficiently. Then in the broadband market, there is an explosion in the new lines being connected here. And the number of lines of ADSL in Telenor networks has now reached 429,000. And in second quarter alone, Telenor, in its own retail operation, reached 27,000 new customers in one quarter alone. And that is second quarter, which is regarded traditionally as a slow quarter for this kind of activity. So there is really a demand for broadband services for the time being in the Norwegian marketplace. If we remember that the ISDN generation of lines connected reached 842,000 at its peak, there is still some to go here. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see close to, for example, 600,000 lines connected at the end of the year, based upon the developments that we've seen in the second quarter. And the product itself is a fantastic product, and you probably know it when you get it connected. For broadcast, we have also a very good quarter as we see it. The margin is improved from 28% to 29.2%. There's a revenue growth here of 14%. And there is also a positive customer uptake in the DTH customer base for this quarter, which is seldom for second quarter because this is generally not regarded as sort of the most popular quarter in which you acquire television services. But it might be that we were helped by the European Championships of football. There is also a successful launch of the new satellite for Telenor, Tenno 2. Our share of that will become operational in third quarter. And this all in all also positioned the business area for further growth, because we do believe there are growth elements, in particular in the Nordic region, that we can look at. It might be known that we, through the spring, also went through a strategic evaluation of the business area as such, and we came to the conclusion that with the operational performance, we do not see any actions on the strategic side, on the ownership issue for broadcast on this timing. Moving then into my conclusion panel here, I will just repeat the strategic priorities of Telenor. We do look for maintaining the strong home market position. And we feel that the second quarter performance really has given us some confidence on this issue. And with the new the entry zone that we launched this year as well, we feel that there are some new features coming into the marketplace which will boost usage further, in particular into the mobile internet world. We do focus on executing the synergies in the Scandinavian mobile operation. This is a significant effort for us, and we have to be successful in that, in the efforts of capturing the synergies that I described. The greatest element in the international mobile portfolio is, of course, the core of the greatest element of Telenor, and we will continue the route that we've seen before, trying to consolidate the operation and look into areas where we feel that we have competence to take Telenor one step further, as we did in Pakistan. And this again will lead to some further transparency for the group and hopefully also a simplified structure which has its right focus when it comes to develop the group further. So thank you. Then I give the word to Torstein Moland, who will guide us through the financials. Torstein.
Thank you, Fredrik. Before going into the financials, let me just highlight our key messages. We have succeeded in keeping our solid market position in Norway without harming profitability. We are particularly satisfied with the development in domestic mobile, which has a strong growth of high ARPU subscribers. In domestic fixed, we stopped the negative market share trend within ADSL and traffic minutes. In addition, the loss of retail subscriptions to wholesale line rental is half of what it was in the first quarter. Yeah, then it's up. Despite the weak margin in Sonofone, we are on track with the synergy projects in the Nordic mobile companies. By this, we will reduce the cost level of 200 million by year end. We experience also tremendous revenue and subscriber growth in our mobile assets in emerging markets. Finally, our broadcast business continues to grow, both in terms of top line and margins. These are the reported figures for the second quarter. In the next slides, I will comment the underlying revenue and EBITDA development more in depth. Overall, we are really satisfied with the results. The positive result development is even clearer looking at the P&L adjusted for special items, which you will see now. Here we see that the profit before tax is improved by more than 1 billion from the second quarter last year. I would also point out that the EBIT margin is improved by almost 3 percentage points compared to last year. The reported growth in revenues is 18% and adjusted for sales gains, 16%. Adjusting also for the effect of acquisitions and disposals of operations and currency fluctuations, the underlying revenue growth is 8%. In this calculation, we include historic pro forma figures for acquired businesses. In the mobile business area, the underlying growth for the companies we consolidate today is 17%. The main growth engine is the mobile companies outside the Nordic countries with a growth of impressive 34%. For the fixed business, the underlying revenue loss is slightly below 1%, and for broadcast, there is a growth of 13%. The adjusted EBITDA margin was 5.5 billion, which gives a margin of 36.1%. This is 1.7 percentage points above the corresponding quarter last year. The main reason behind this positive margin development are that mobile has increased its share of the corporate group EBITDA, despite the fact that Sonofon contributes negatively to the margin. In addition, the margin is improved through continued cost reductions in our Norwegian operations. Our efforts to improve operational excellence are on track and continuous. The number of man-years have increased during the first half by 750. Due to the consolidation of Effecto Sonofon, which is almost 1,300. Domestically, we have a steady decline in our workforce. During this quarter, the number of man-years in Norway is reduced by 500, which is mainly due to EDB Business Partners' sale of its telecom business and workforce reductions in the directory inquiry services. The reason for the high capex to sales ratio of 21% for the group is of course the acquisition of a mobile license in Pakistan for 1.8 billion. Adjusted for this, capex to sales would have been 12% in the first half. The ratio in the second quarter, mainly due to higher capex in Keystar, in Grameen and in Telenor Mobil. In domestic fixed, the capex to sales ratio was as low as 7% and 8% for the first 6 months. We believe that this will increase somewhat in the next two quarters. Here we see the net debt development over the last quarters. The net debt is now 22 billion, which is an increase by 2.7 billion during the quarter. On the breakdown to the right, you will see that capex amounted to 4.1 billion. This includes the capitalization of the license in Pakistan with a net present value of 1.8 billion, of which 1 billion was paid in the second quarter of 2004, and the remainder is to be paid in annual installments over 10 years and is recorded in the balance sheet as interest. Interest-bearing debt of 800 million. In the second quarter of 2004, Telenor paid dividends of 1.7 billion. The 1.3 billion increase in debt due to share buyback consists of 0.6 billion buyback in the market and 0.7 billion from the government. The share buyback and dividend is visualized in this picture. In total, we distributed 4.2 billion to shareholders, which almost equals our net income last year. This 2.4 billion consists of a dividend plus what we have acquired or shares and are committed to acquire from government. The two dark bars in the picture shows what we have acquired in the market, and the light part, what we buy from the government. And then finally to the outlook for the rest of this year, or for the year as a whole. We generally confirm our expectations for this year as presented in our report for the first quarter. Overall, excluding special items, we expect a positive development in our results compared to last year. Continued growth in revenues is expected, mainly driven by our international mobile operations, where we experience a strong growth in the customer base in several markets. The EBITDA margin is expected to be in line with 2003, excluding special items. This includes the negative effect of the consolidation of Sonofon and the establishment of mobile operations in Pakistan. The margin expectation is also based on, among other factors, the effect of increased marketing efforts to secure growth in several of our mobile operations. The increase in the customer base in Ukraine and Bangladesh contributes to increased network investments. In addition, CapEx is expected to increase due to the new operation in Pakistan, including license costs, the purchase of satellite capacity, consolidation of Sonofon, and investment in new mobile technology in Norway. Overall, CapEx is expected to be significantly higher than last year. The sale of the IT service division from the business area Fixed to EDB Business Partners for ISFA Fixed Norway expected to have a positive effect on operating profit, excluding special items, and a negative effect on revenues. Thank you.
Thank you, Torstein. We now open up for questions, first from the audience here, and then later from the ones listening in on the phone. And in addition to Mr. Baksholt and Mr. Moland, Senior Executive Vice President Arve Johansen will also take part in the Q&A session. Since we have people both watching and listening in, will you please wait for a microphone to be delivered to you before posing questions so that it makes it possible for those listening in to also listen to your questions. So then.
Dag Edde from DN Finance. Just wondering, what kind of action is William to take in Denmark to address Sonofon's weak margins and performance?
Synergy elements of combining an operation which have been full-fledged on all aspects of a mobile operation in Denmark with the same in Norway has a number of possibilities on the synergy side. And this relates primarily to network operation, product development, and product management, as well as the IT systems. And some of these synergies are more of a short-term type of nature, and others are long-term, in the sense that the first wave of actions here will have the more short-term effect, with the aim of giving results from the first quarter 2005, whereas the more long-term effects on coming from IT and product development has a time framework of a couple of years before they become effectful.
Maybe we should add that the market environment in Denmark is very, very competitive, and regardless of what improvements we make in our operations to improve margins, we are kind of subject to the prevailing market conditions when it comes to prices. So I think we are prepared and have to expect that margins in Denmark for some time still is going to be lower than in most other markets.
I see no further questions here from the audience.
Yes, there's one.
Sorry.
I had a question regarding to the developments in Denmark and how do you feel that these developments will also apply in the Norwegian market, especially when you now see the service providers and the difference in price between a mobile, Telenor mobile customer and a Mobison of about 88% difference. Do you think that you'll experience more competition also in the postpaid part of the segment in Norway?
You know, prices is more than just minute prices and SMS prices. But what we have seen in Denmark, correctly, as you point out, is that a lot of people are actually very much attracted by low minute price and low SMS price. But we see in the Norwegian market somewhat different characteristics, that people are actually also more interested in good terminals and content and services. So we could not succeed in the way we have done in the second quarter in the Norwegian market if you hadn't hit the market with the right complete product, including terminal services like the entry model, etc., which has actually been very well received by the market. And the first providers, just focusing on per minute price and SMS price, will definitely attract a certain element and a segment of the market who are attracted by that. But we expect the bigger portion of the market to be more attracted by a complete package.
Concerning the entry model, of the 73,000 new subscribers you net have received in Norway, how many of them are based on the entry model?
That's a question, unfortunately, it's impossible to answer to, because, you know, net adds is the result of a big growth sale and the reduction of churn. So, unfortunately, it's not possible to give that equation. Yeah, I don't know. I have numbers right here, but there is a lack of entry terminals in the market, to put it that way.
Okay, any further questions from the audience here? If that is not so, I call upon the telephone conference host to introduce questions from the phone. We have five people waiting to pose questions on the phone.
Question from Mr. Rivet, Citigroup. Go ahead, please.
Rivet, Citigroup. I have three questions, actually. The first is on guidance. These are clearly a very good set of numbers, yet you've made no change to your guidance statement as far as I can see in the Q2 results. Can you discuss the reasons for this? Is this just you being conservative, or are you expecting something more sinister to happen in the rest of the year? The second question relates directly to your CapEx guidance. Can you give a more substantial figure or a more concrete figure on how much you think you're going to end up spending in the rest of this year as a result of the higher CapEx? And the third question is on the domestic business. In the fixed line, whether you can give an update on the sort of native DSL services. Thank you.
Yeah, I can start by the guidance. We are maintaining our EBITDA guidance for this year. We believe that we will be able to obtain the same EBITDA margin as we did last year. And as I said, there are some uncertainties about this. Namely, the main reason is the uncertainty as to how much it's necessary to spend on marketing efforts in the different markets.
On balance, I would say that there is a somewhat higher likelihood of us overperforming that margin than underperforming. But we have found no reason to give a more specific figures on that. But we think it's like more likely to overperform than underperform. On CapEx, I can be a little more specific. We had a CapEx level for the first half of 5.5 billion, and for the second half, taking everything into account, we expect even higher CapEx for the second half. Taking into account the CapEx in Pakistan, the purchase of satellites, the increased network rollout in some of our operations, the new technology in Norway, and so on.
The third part of your question regarding fixed line, there was some cracking on the speaker here, so could you repeat that one, please?
Yeah, sure. My question was about the take-up of native DSL services, i.e. selling the DSL without having to access, without having to sell voice with it.
Does that question relate to the speed or take-up of new customers of ADSL?
Exactly. Have you seen an acceleration in the number of customers wanting that service?
Oh, yeah. There has been a significant acceleration through the winter. And we are surprised that that speed has maintained through second quarter, also connecting as much as 27,000 new customers on Telenor Retail. Which is a very strong figure, the quarter taking into consideration. We had expected that the summer period would have slowed that speed down a bit.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Lyle from Morgan Stanley. Go ahead, please.
Hi, it's Nick Lyle from Morgan Stanley. Had a couple of questions. Firstly, you mentioned the wholesale line rental numbers seem to be slowing in fixed. Are you actually going to cut the guidance of a take-up by all CPS customers? Does that look sensible now, or do you think there's actually a positive risk that that figure may be far, far lower, given it's only 20,000 take-up this quarter? And on the voice revenue, a negative figure for voice revenues, you've mentioned in the statement increased substitution. Should we be concerned that substitution has taken a step change given your and Norway price cuts and rest of market price cuts?
As for the wholesale line rental, there is around 360,000, correct me if I'm wrong on the figure, which is on carrier pre-select, which means that this is sort of the ceiling that we have previously considered that the line rental wholesale would reach. But we do have seen that, or we have been of the opinion that it's not necessarily an equation between carrier pre-select and wholesale line rental. And in this quarter, we have seen this, we've seen the pace of customers moving from a end-user relationship with Telenor to wholesale line rental through other operators. We have seen a decline in the speed of those customers in this quarter, and this is sort of promising for us. And of course, we will try to maintain a competitive pressure on the marketplace in such a way that that we maintain as a high customer base for fixed line in retail as possible. And we feel that we've been fairly successful through this quarter on this. As for voice revenues, the number of voice minutes in the fixed line network is constantly being reduced. And I think the figure stated in the report is 14% lower this quarter compared to second quarter last year, which means that the number of minutes finding its way into the mobile systems and into virtual private network solutions for corporates And to come voice over IP, these kind of effects will be part of the daily work of Telenor. But we don't necessarily see a step up in this kind of development, even though we do, of course, want to attack this kind of development and make this arena a Telenor arena in the same way as we've done with other technologies when they do arise and come into the marketplace.
Thanks very much.
Mr. Nielsen, go ahead, please.
Thank you. Peter Kurt Nielsen from Schiphol. A couple of clarification points, please. On the, I got a bit confused by the comments on Sonofone. The savings next year of 200 million. Will we see any of that in 2004, or will it all come in 2005? Secondly, please, can you tell us how many customers you have, service provider customers you have on your network in Norway, and what the rate of growth increase has been in this quarter? And if I may, I just ask for clarification of the last comment here from Frederick on carefree select customers. Am I to understand that you still have 360,000 carefree select customers on among your subscribers? Thank you.
Sonofone, you will not see that improvement this year, but the speed going into 2005 will be showing that improvement in the numbers. On the service providers in Norway, we have not given up the numbers, and that is not due to ourselves, but due to the competitive sensitivity amongst the service providers, and that's why we haven't disclosed that number.
For your comment on the number of customers, I you stated the wrong figure, because 360 should have been 467. So thank you, Peter, for correcting me on that score. Thank you.
Thank you, Frederick.
Sergei Arsenyev from Goldman Sachs. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. Can I just follow up on Denmark, please? Given the stream of mergers that we've seen in Denmark so far this year with TDC and Telmo, UNCDD, Telia and Orange, do you expect some sort of worsening of the regulatory situation in the second half of the year? And do you generally think that the regulatory situation in Denmark will change significantly post this? Secondly, on Denmark, you mentioned pricing pressure in your presentation. Just a question, do you see the same kind of pricing pressure in the second half of this year? And if so, who is the main driver of this pricing pressure?
Yeah, well, take the first one on the regulators. We don't see any attendance or interest of the regulators in Denmark to worsen the environment. It has been a very kind of proactive situation in Denmark from the regulator, and that has resulted in fierce competition. The mergers that are taking place in the market right now, particularly the Orange and Telia merger, will require approval by the regulator, of course, and by EU. If there are anything that could come out of a particular merger, that would be conditions attached to the transaction as such, and not a general worsening of the environment and the regulatory environment in Denmark as we expected. Price pressure, consolidation should normally work the other way. So we don't expect anything, but we do hope that the consolidation in the market might actually give us a little better environment to work in.
Thank you. And can I ask you on the domestic mobile market, your offers were stable or improved a little bit. Can you give us the corresponding minutes of use developments in the domestic market?
Yes, we can give you that number. We have it in the report.
I thought you had that figure
all right.
Your hand on.
198 minutes.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay,
so Ruth from Carnegie. Go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, it's Chris DeRock from Carnegie. Just a quick question also on the synergies from the Nordic Mobile Operations. One of the questions I had has already been answered with respect to the timing, but could you, it's implied, but could you confirm that all of the improvements will be allocated to Fonophone and not Mobile Norway?
No, this synergy is a result of the improvements in both operations.
Could you give us a flavor of what the distribution of the synergies will be?
Well, I'm sorry.
Okay. Second question is, also, did I understand you correct that in as much as marketing spend regards, it continues to increase quarter over quarter for mobile operations in Norway?
Well, there has been some writing in Norwegian media about the media spending and such. You should, in a way, consider that the figures mentioned here are gross figures. They do not necessarily portray what's being paid in direct market spending as such. But if you extend your question to also include the sales and acquisition costs in general, we do have a slightly higher sales and acquisition cost price tag per new customer this quarter compared to previous quarters, but not excessive as we see it. So we are very comfortable with the balance that we have found this this quarter.
Okay, appreciate the extended version, and I take the answer to my question as a yes then. Thank you.
Next, Mr. Moses, Lehman Brothers. Go ahead, please.
Oh, thanks. Paul Norris from Lehman Brothers. A question on Russia. First of all, the Yukos case raises a general question of property rights in Russia. And I wonder how you think about that in the context of your longer-term goal of taking full control of Simplecom.
Of course, we are concerned about the development in the general investment climate in Russia as such, even though we have not seen any spillover effects into our industry in the same way as we have seen in the Yukos case. But of course, we are as concerned about the development in general as anyone else, but once again, we have not seen any spillover effects into our industry of that kind. On the contrary, in fact, we also have meetings with officials of the government now and then, and we had the opportunity to meet with a high-ranked minister here in Norway some weeks ago, when the foreign minister came to Norway. And in meetings like that, we do get the feeling that they do acknowledge foreign investment as important to bring certain elements of the Russian market further in its development. So conversations with officials on that are quite useful for us.
Okay, thank you. And could I have a follow-up on different business lines, mobile in Norway? Apologies if I missed the answer to this, but how much of the very strong 6% underlying revenue increase was the result of higher wholesale revenues? How much was wholesale and how much was retail?
I don't have that split right off of my head, but I do think it can be calculated out of the figures, and our investor relation department will be able to call you on that issue after the presentation.
Okay, and on Denmark, on the ARPU reduction in Denmark, how much of that was CBB and how much was pricing?
I think the primary effect is really the pricing issue and not a significant dilution of CVB customers.
Thank you very much.
Andreas Hogley, Lehman Brothers, go ahead please.
Hi, a couple of follow-up questions. On the share buyback, does the guidance still stand that you'll use that to optimise balance sheet structure through the remainder of the year? You highlighted what you've spent year-to-date. Are we right to assume that continues? And then a second question, on Norwegian fixed, we've seen migration to wholesale line rental. Could you give us some commentary on your views as regards migration to full local loop unbundling? You've currently got a 56% retail market share of DSL. What's the threat of the wholesale subscribers migrating over to full local loop unbundling over the coming year? Thank you.
On the share buyback, I can confirm that we have not terminated our share buyback program. We are going to buy more shares, but I cannot indicate when or anything about the numbers.
Thank
but
you.
We will continue with that. We feel this is a good way to send money back to the shareholders, and as I said, we have already done and committed to do that at the amount of 4.2 billion over the last half year, which is more than our net profit for 2003. And there will come more.
Thank you. As for your question on fixed line, our overall market share in ADSL has been stated to be 56.5%, as you mentioned. But our retail market share in the residential market is 60%, so it's somewhat higher in that respect. Of course, there is a possibility that those customers that are on wholesale will move to local loop unbundled concepts. And the two major competitors of Telenor are those using the local loop unbundled concept rather than the wholesale concept. So that is absolutely a possibility. On the other hand, the pricing structure between these three layers, then retail from Telenor, wholesale from Telenor, and local loop unbundled, the pricing structure is, of course, has a consequence between where you get the pressure from other players. So, of course, there are some price mechanisms that can be used here to balance off this effect. But your question is absolutely a real question for us. But the financial effect of such a switch is not necessarily so significant.
Next, Mr. Kalmak, Deutsche Bank.
Hello, good morning. Sorry, I just had one question. I was wondering if you could maybe comment a little bit on the operating performance in Sweden and just tell us really how the operation is developing there, please.
Are you referring to the mobile or everything
that
you're saying?
Just referring to the mobile business.
The mobile is moving slowly ahead. The uptake on the internet-based DGS offering is not brilliant by any means, but it's steady. And if you compare that take-up with other startups like service providers in Norway and Denmark, the development is kind of showing the same characteristics. What has been a bit disappointing in Sweden is the uptake in the business segment, where we have not yet had any breakthrough.
Next, Mr. Sumi Doctor, UBS.
Yeah, hi.
Can I just ask a question on Pakistan, and if you could perhaps just give us an update as to what's happening there, in particular regarding developments to find a local partner. And additionally, I just wondered at this stage if you could give perhaps a clearer idea as to how the billion US dollars of CAPEX spend may be split. Thank you.
Pakistan is developing, as Fredrik already mentioned, according to plans, or a bit better. And so far we are very pleased with the kind of the environment and the ability to act in Pakistan. It has been very good so far. Local partner, we have said that we would consider including a local partner if we could find one that would really add significant value to the company. So far we have not decided to take up any local partner, and time will show whether we will change that view in the future, but for the time being there is nothing coming up.
And anything on the CAPEX please?
No,
Does that relate to Pakistan as such, or what?
Specifically Pakistan, in terms of the, I think you signaled $1 billion of potential CAPEX in Pakistan to roll out the network.
Yeah, we have said that we, over the first 5 years or so, we spend like $1 billion, and we have not changed that number.
Is there any sort of idea on to how that would be weighted? Presumably more towards the nearer years, I would have thought, but if you could give more clarity on that.
It's definitely more in the early years, but we don't give out the particular breakdown on that at this stage.
Okay, thanks.
Next, Mr. Rock, Mary Lynch.
Yeah, good morning. Just a question on international mobile. Your guidance for the rest of the year is that there will be pressure in the international margins. And just sort of looking at how I guess you mentioned it yourself, that growth opportunities have sort of lagged some of your competitors in the field of the market. It does seem you're focusing more on postpaid subscribers and letting competitors take a lot higher growth in the prepaid segment. Could you just talk a little bit about your strategy and some of those assets? And then a second question, legally, when could you start the buyback again after these sets of results?
Yeah, could I take the last question? We are now going into a period where management has the possibility of exercising stock options, and after that they can sell their shares if they exercise those options. We do not want to place ourselves in a position where we can be criticized for mixing up these things. So you should not expect us to start buying shares for the first few weeks.
Thank you.
Okay, on the postpaid prepaid kind of trade-off, you can say that in mature markets, where the game is customer retention, we have, as you correctly say, focused more on postpaid because it has to do with retention. We believe that having customers on the contract is a better tool to control retention than having them on the prepaid. And you see that what we do in Norway, in Hungary, and to some extent also in Ukraine is in that regard a move, and we see that as a move in the right direction. In emerging markets, it's predominantly prepaid, and we do other things there to also develop the loyalty and retention part of the business, even on the prepaid base. Margin pressure is, of course, expected, and it has to do with our intention not to lose out in the market. We believe it's the best and most cost-effective way to take customers early and keep customers rather than winning them back if you have lost market share. And that's why we are kind of declaring a willingness to fight in the market. But we won't give more than necessary, of course.
Thank you.
Next, Mr. Pierce, the guest in the box.
Good morning all, John Pierce and Dresner. Firstly, could you please tell us if there have been any changes in your control or exit strategy, particularly as regards your largest unconsolidated investments? Any discussions underway, for instance? And secondly, obviously your net debt has increased, which was expected, but could you please reconfirm that you haven't changed your leverage policy? In other words, the company still wants to maintain single A ratings. Thanks.
As for the control and exit issue, there is no change on that score, and I think first time that also confirmed that there is no change on the leverage issue either.
Right.
Thank you. Next, Mr. Lyon, Morgan Stanley.
Hi, Lyon from Morgan Stanley. Can I just ask a couple of follow-ups as well? Could you clarify them your way? That the 73,000 additions. I think you mentioned in the presentation a lot of that was new penetration. But has any at all come from market share gain? Are you still gaining share from Telia, and if so, is there any sign of a fight back? And the second question was really on the guidance again. I think you mentioned this earlier on, but again on guidance, your margins are up for the first half. They're up by 2 percentage points on last year. In the second half, your guidance implies they're going to be down 2 percentage points on next year. And if that all comes from international, you're minding going to be down 6 percentage points in international. Do you really, which markets in particular would be so hard to knock 6 percentage points off international margins? Thanks.
In the Norwegian market, most of it, as it looks right now, we don't have the exact numbers from all the players, but we believe that most of it is actually the net effect of net or new customers coming into the market, and we expect market share to be relatively flat. But we will see that later when the other people present their numbers.
On the guidance of the margins in mobile, you should take into account that we for the second half will have Sonofon consolidated for the whole for 6 months. This was not the case for the first half. Secondly, we expect that margins will drop in countries like Ukraine and Bangladesh, where they are very high and where we expect more marketing efforts.
Thanks very much. But just can I mention that again? I mean, if it's just Ukraine and Bangladesh, for example, that would be implying roughly a 10 percentage point or slightly more impact to margin second half on second half last year. Is that the sort of scale we should be looking at? Or is there a potential, you comment earlier on potential that things could be far better?
Well, we don't give guidance for individual markets, but if you look at the figures for Bangladesh, the margins are very high. And you should be prepared that they will be lower there as well as in Ukraine. When looking at the margins for the mobile as a whole, and you should also, in addition to what I mentioned, take into account the cost we will now have in the second half in Pakistan, which will be only cost and virtually no revenues.
Okay, thanks.
No further questions from the phone participants.
Okay, thank you very much. That also concludes the Q&A session, and we open up for individual interviews. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for this morning.